purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Whatever you have spoken appears to me to be contradictory. O best friend of the distressed, I have committed a great offense by insulting you. I was puffed up with false prestige due to possessing the body of a king. With this I have certainly become an offender. Therefore I pray that you kindly glance at me with your causeless mercy. If you do so, I can be relieved from sinful activities brought about by insulting you. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that by offending a Vaishnava, one finishes all his spiritual activities. Offending a Vaishnava is considered the mad elephant offense. A mad elephant can destroy an entire garden which has been developed with great labor. One may attain the topmost platform of devotional service, but somehow or other, if he offends a Vaishnava, the whole structure collapses. Unconsciously, King Rahugana offended Jada Bharat, but due to his good sense, he asked to be excused. This is the process by which one can be relieved from a Vaishnava aparat. Krishna is always very simple and by nature merciful. When one commits an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava, one must immediately apologize to such a personality so that his spiritual advancement may not be hampered. We'll also do text 25 because it's practically, it's the same theme and then it finishes the chapter. Navikriya vishva suritsaka sahakasya samyena vita bhimatestavapi mahat vimanat svakritat dimadrin nan kashyat yadurarapi sulupani. Translation. O my dear Lord, you are the friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the friend of all living entities. You are therefore equal to everyone, and you are free from the bodily conception. Although I have committed an offense by insulting you, I know that there is no loss or gain for you due to my insult. You are fixed in your determination, but I have committed an offense. Because of this, even though I may be as strong as Lord Shiva, I shall be vanquished without delay due to my offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Purport. Maharaj Rahugana was very intelligent and conscious of the inauspicious effects arising from insulting a Vaishnava. He was therefore very anxious to be excused by Jada Bharat. Following in the footsteps of Maharaj Rahugana, everyone should be very cautious not to commit an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya 13 says, Sulapani sama yadi bhaktanindakare bhagavata pramana tatapi shrigramare hena vaishnavare nindi sarvangyang hai se janera adapata sarva shastrakoi. This means, even if one is as strong as Lord Shiva who carries a trident in his hand, one will nonetheless fall down from his spiritual position if he tries to insult the Vaishnava. This is the verdict of all Vedic scriptures. Unquote. He also says in his Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya 22, Vaishnavera nidha kari veka yare ghana tara raksha samatya nahika kona jana. He speaks perfect Bengali, so. Sulapani sama yadi Vaishnavera nindi tatapiha nasha yaha kahe shastavrinde. Iha na maniya ye sujana nindikare janme janme se papishta daiva doshamare. One who blasphemes a Vaishnava cannot be protected by anyone. Even if a person is as strong as Lord Shiva, if he blasphemes a Vaishnava, he is sure to be destroyed. This is the verdict of all Shastras. If one does not care for this verdict of the Shastra and he dares to blaspheme a Vaishnava, he suffers life after life because of this. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Discussion Between Jada Bharat and Maharaj Rahugana. Om Agyan Timurandasya Ginangana Shalakaya Chakshuramilitam Jainatasmai Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jainabhutale Swaram Rupakadamayam Dadantishva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Om Am Rim Shrom Om Param Tataka Hataka Kesha Gajalai Padika Lochana Van Harakanaka Sparsati Vasingha Namostakam. Two very important verses concerning the Hatimata, or the mad elephant offense of blaspheming a devotee. This is known, actually, as the first offense against the holy name of the Lord. And in the Nectar of Devotion, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī and Śrīla Prabhupāda elaborates on the point, describes that even if one offends the Lord, he may be excused. If one somehow or other offends the Lord, it's possible that he be excused. But if one offends the holy name of the Lord, there is no way that one can be excused. So therefore, one should be very careful in chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Nama. Not to commit offenses. There are 10 offenses to the holy name. And the first offense, again, is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for preaching the glories of the Lord. So this may appear to be contradictory, that Rupa Goswami describes that one can offend Krishna and somehow he can be excused. But if one offends the holy name of the Lord, there's no hope for such a person. He cannot be excused and he cannot make spiritual progress. So it appears to be contradictory, just like it's stated today. Maharaj Rahukana is saying, whatever you have spoken appears to be contradictory. So things have to be explained. So what is the understanding? The understanding is that the holy name is the mercy incarnation of the Lord. And if one takes advantage of the mercy, there's no hope. The example which Śrīla Prabhupāda gives is that of Chaitanya Mahāprabhu. Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, while traveling through India, was going through Banaras, Varanasi. And at that time, there were many Mayavadi philosophers. And the Mayavadi philosophers, unable to appreciate the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, criticized him. As we know, when Chaitanya Mahāprabhu was going through Banaras, they said many things. And Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhara, they were not able to defeat these Mayavadis. But it's described that Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, he was disinterested. He was not offended. They were speaking very bad things. Mayavadi philosophers, this is the difference between a Mayavadi and an impersonalist. An impersonalist is meditating on a particular aspect of the Supreme, the impersonal Brahman. The effulgence which comes from the Lord's body, that is the impersonal Brahman, that is an aspect of the Absolute Truth. Brahmameti paramatmeti bhagavan iti sabjite. But the Mayavadi is one who goes out of his way to criticize the personal form of Krishna. Krishna describes such persons. Avajananti mamudha. These persons, they criticize me when I come to this material world. They think that I come in a material form, not knowing that my form is actually transcendental. And when you go to a Mayavadi lecture, such as we had the opportunity to do in India at the Kumbh Mela, we heard how all Prabhupada's points come out very clearly, how they're blaspheming Krishna, how the Brahman takes a material form of goodness for the purpose of yada yadahi dharmasya, and then when everyone becomes self-realized as a result of following this particular incarnation, we go beyond the incarnation, beyond Krishna, into the Om. Anyway, so in so many ways they deride the personal form of the Lord. So when Chaitanya Mahāprabhu was coming through Varanasi, these Mayavadis, they were deriding Lord Chaitanya, in many ways criticizing. He is a sannyasi. Why is he not at home studying Vedanta? What is this emotional chanting and dancing? This is all bogus. This is not religion, etc., etc. Due to their poor fund of knowledge, they could not appreciate that he was the Supreme Personality of God. So they blasphemed quite strongly, so much so that Chaitanya Mahāprabhu's devotees became very agitated, very disturbed. But Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, he was practically indifferent. He was ready just to let it go. But on the appeal of his disciples, his devotees, he came back and defeated those Mayavadis and delivered them. He delivered Prakashananda Saraswati. So it was actually by the mercy of Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra that these Mayavadi philosophers got delivered. But as far as Chaitanya Mahāprabhu was concerned, he was indifferent. So that is an example where one can offend the Lord and there may not be any severe reaction. The Lord may actually be indifferent to that. But then, it is described that if one offends the holy name of the Lord, particularly meaning the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then there's no hope of deliverance. So how is this? This is because the holy name of the Lord, again, is the mercy incarnation of the Lord. We're all condemned, conditioned souls in this material world. And somehow, by the great mercy of the Lord, he has appeared in a very simple way to deliver us. As it's stated in this purport, Krishna is very simple and by nature very merciful. So what more simple way could Krishna appear than the three words, Hare Krishna Rama? It's not very complicated. You can find Krishna by going through the Vedas with great difficulty, because it's very complicated. But if Krishna appears before you in a very simple way, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, in a very merciful way, a very merciful way. Mercy means, as we said the other day, causeless mercy. There may be no cause for the mercy, but it comes anyway. There may be no cause, but it comes anyway. And then you, in turn, slap in the face. That's not very good. We were discussing yesterday at the Sankirtan meeting. We brought up the story how we once had an operation. In the middle of the operation, we woke up. And seeing the doctor and the knives and the scalpel and being under the influence of intoxication, we punched the doctor and his nose, and there was blood everywhere. So afterwards we had to apologize. So this is not a very good situation where when someone's very, very kind to you and then, you know, you are not grateful for that and actually you may be offensive to that person. If you just have a relationship with someone, for instance, and that, you know, you offend that person, that's not as serious as if you offend a very dear confidential friend, is it? It's not taken as seriously. If you just meet someone on the street, you bump, hey, where are you going? Watch out. You watch out. You just keep going. But if you come home and you punch your wife, you know, or you hit your friend, that's considered more, because the relationship is very intimate. It's a close relationship. So there's another saying that we should not bite the hand that feeds us. So the Lord is very mercifully appearing as the holy name. And one can be delivered by this simple and merciful process, just by chanting Hare Krishna. So if we do not take proper advantage, and rather we are offensive to the holy name, then we cannot be delivered. If one is just an ordinary karmi, and he's somewhat inimical to the Lord, or he's a mayavadi, then the Lord may be indifferent. But if the Lord comes in a very special way, very merciful, very compassionate, and one offends that mercy incarnation of the Lord, then there's no hope for such an offender. So this is the meaning of the statement, that one can offend the Lord and be excused, but if one offends the holy name of the Lord, there's no chance for such a person to be delivered. So we have to be very conscious. The process is very simple, but it's not cheap. The process is very simple. It's based on chanting, dancing, and feasting. But it's not cheap, meaning that we cannot offend the Lord in the form of His holy name, we cannot offend the Lord in the form of prasadam, and certainly we cannot offend the Lord as He comes by His representative. In other words, the representative of the Lord is also the mercy incarnation. He is directly representing Krishna. Prabhupada would give the example of the ambassador. The ambassador, a single person, represents an entire nation. So yesterday we were going to have the Indian ambassador come here. So if the Indian ambassador had come here and we had treated him very nicely, then you can be sure that somehow or other he would have given a good report to many people. And perhaps that news would have even filtrated back to India. Just like recently we had our demonstrations for the Robin George case. So what was the idea of having these demonstrations all over the world? That we knew that that particular ambassador, he would let Mr. Bush know his impressions. In this way, we could get to Mr. Bush. Mr. Bush is a difficult person to get to. But he has his ambassadors. And if you go to the ambassador, you can impress the ambassador, then somehow you can impress Mr. Bush. And if you offend that ambassador, watch out. So we wanted, when we were hoping the Indian ambassador would come here, we were going to have Artik and nice. We wanted to impress upon him, because we knew it wasn't just impressing him. He was a big person. Prabhupada said, it's not what you know. He quoted this, it's not what you know, it's who you know. The same principle applies in spiritual life. It's by the mercy of the spiritual master that we become delivered from material existence. What can we know? But by His mercy, being appreciative with our service, He blesses us with spiritual advancement. Seeing our sincere attempt, He blesses us. What is our knowledge? Not very much. But the spiritual master is very merciful, therefore He blesses. My dear Lord, please be kind upon this soul and give him some Krishna bhakti. Therefore, that relationship should be taken very seriously. Actually, it's on the recommendation of the spiritual master and the assembled Vaishnavas that we actually make advancement. Therefore, Prabhupada said, if one leaves Krishna consciousness, it's a great embarrassment to the guru. Because the guru is actually recommending us to Krishna. It's on the strength of his recommendation, just like you may apply for a job in the material world. So then someone says, you know, they ask, you know, what recommendations do you have? Give some references, right? In a job application, they say, can you give some references? You know, you're saying you're like this, that's all right. But are there any references? Did you work here before? Does somebody know you? Give some references. Same thing when you apply for a visa to get into a country. Where are you going to be staying? Can you give us some references? And on the basis of the references, they give you the job or the visa. So it's not what you know, it's who you know. So if the spiritual master recommends us to the Lord, here's a nice boy, here's a nice girl, please accept their service. And then the Lord, because the spiritual master is the confidential servant, Sakshad Hari Tvainasamasta Shastriya, because he is the confidential servant of the Lord, then on his recommendation, all right, I accept. So if later on we break regulatory principles, or we become offensive in the process, that's a great embarrassment for the spiritual master, because then, you know, Krishna says, but you recommend it. So Prabhupada said, if someone goes, that is a great embarrassment to the guru. One time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was giving a sannyas initiation. And right in the middle of the sannyas initiation and the fire sacrifice, one of the wives of the aspiring sannyasis came in and literally dragged him away from the fire, screaming, no, no, you cannot take sannyas, you know. So, you know, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, I could not save this man. And he began to cry right in the ceremony. That's how concerned he was about the deliverance of this particular disciple. This is how concerned he was. So we, as concerned as our authorities are for our well-being, we should be as grateful. In proportion to their concern, if we have the proper gratitude, that's a good combination. It's an auspicious combination. If the spiritual master is not concerned for the disciple, then he's not qualified. And in turn, if the disciple is not grateful to the spiritual master, then he becomes unqualified as well. Just like yesterday, Yadanath made several very interesting and important points in the class. And one point which I remembered very much is that the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple is an eternal relation, if only because we can never repay the debt to the spiritual master. Yesterday we were having a talk with some devotees, and they said, well, can you explain how the relationship is eternal? What makes it eternal? Does the fire sacrifice? Why does the fire sacrifice? But the relationship is eternal if only because, it's eternal for other reasons also, but if it's eternal if only because we can never actually repay the debt to the guru. The guru is taking us out of material existence. We cannot make advancement on our own in spiritual life. He is giving us divya gyan. He's giving us transcendental knowledge, being pleased with whatever simple, with whatever little effort we're making, according to our own ability in devotional service. If the spiritual master sees pariprasana sevaya, submission and uncompromising service, then he's very pleased. That can be exhibited in the simple activity of washing the floor, or cleaning the temple room, dressing the deities, or going on sankirtan, or farming, or teaching, whatever it may be. But the mood of the disciple should be that. It should be yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru. It should be done with full faith that the instruction is perfect, and by following that instruction I will also become perfect. And it should be done in an uncompromising mood. As we mentioned before, there's four types of sons. The fourth class son is one who gets the instruction and doesn't carry it out. Third class carries it out complaining. Second class carries it out very willingly, and first class anticipates the order of the guru and carries it out without being asked. So this concern and commitment on behalf of our spiritual authorities and the gratefulness and the service mood of the devotees, this is essential for our advancement in devotional service. So if someone is ungrateful and leaves, Prabhupada said that means he never chanted, he never took prasadam, he never saw the deities, he never appreciated the Vaishnavas. He said that one time in a lecture. I heard about 6 months ago. If someone leaves, he's ungrateful. That means he never appreciated what he had. So he never chanted. He never took prasadam. He never saw. Otherwise, how could you leave? It would be impossible, because you would actually fully understand. And if you have that mercy, then how would you let it go? Just like sometimes people, they ask at a Sunday feast, how did we leave from the spiritual world? How is it that we fell from the spiritual world if it was perfect? So then I say, well, do you like the philosophy? Oh, yes. Do you like the prasadam? Oh, yes. Do you like the devotees? Oh, yes. Do you have any complaints? No. It's perfect here. Oh, yeah, it's perfect. Why are you leaving? Oh, well, I gotta go. But if one really understands, in other words, if the absolute truth is presented as the absolute truth, then, if you leave, that means you're not sincere. Just like Prabhupada said, if someone is pretending to wake up, you'll never be able to wake them up. But if someone is actually asleep, you can wake them up. So when the truth is presented, if you're actually sincere, you have to surrender. Here's Krishna, take him. Wow, I was really in ignorance. Thank you very much for opening my eyes with transcendental knowledge. Please let me serve this wonderful Krishna conscious movement. But if someone's not sincere, if you present the absolute truth, then it becomes circular argument. Yes, but if, maybe, when. Yes, but. You present it and they cannot be defeated. You cannot defeat this philosophy. So how is it when we go out and we preach to scientists and to businessmen and to so many different types of people, they don't surrender because they don't want to surrender? They're very, very unfortunate. They're very unfortunate. And with their brains, they come up with so many excuses why, they counteract, they argue. But if someone's actually asleep, then you can wake them up. But if they're pretending to be asleep, I remember we had one devotee in our Sankirtan party. This devotee just wouldn't get up. Didn't want to get up. So one day we went in, we threw a bucket of water on him. And he still didn't get up. But he was awake. It was freezing cold water, so there was no way. So then, we maybe committed a Vaishnava aparad. I was so angry. I was so frustrated. Get up! Get out of Maya! Come to Mangal Artik! pretending, a fake snore. So I took one of these CS gas bottles that we had, when demons attacked us and dogs, Vishnu Radha. Please forgive my offenses, Vishnu Radha Das Hare Krishna. Became a nice devotee, anyway. So I took that CS gas into the tent, and about 2 seconds later, he ran out. This may not have been very nice, but he got up, he came to the program, he chanted his rounds, he was crying. It wasn't tears of ecstasy, it was the tear gas. Then I apologized later, and he said, you're right, I'm just a rascal. He said, I needed that. So they're so obstinate, they will not surrender. They're pretending. The truth is the truth. Here's the truth. They don't want to surrender. Therefore, sometimes we have to be a little forceful. Yesterday the question was asked in the Sankirtan Darshan, sometimes the devotees are like a little pushy. But what can you do? We're not appealing to their sentiment. We're appealing to their most heartfelt desires to be a devotee of the Lord. As George Harrison said, everybody is a devotee of Krishna. Some know it and some don't. So, we have to take it upon ourselves, the risk of going out and sometimes, being spoken to strongly or even beaten or whatever, because we know that in their heart they're devotees of Krishna. So, a neophyte devotee may resist because he doesn't want to hurt anyone. But a devotee knows the real pain that they have to suffer is birth, death, old age, and disease. So a little cutting, sadhu sangha. Sadhu means cut. Sadhu means cut. To cut through the ignorance with transcendental knowledge. So that the compassion of a devotee overwhelms the obstinate nature of the materialistic person. But at the same time, the devotee is very merciful. That he makes it in such a way that the person can cut his attachments without too much pain. All right, you're just a rascal, nonsense, fool number one. Now give up this attachment. Oh, well, you know, how? Take this nice sweet ball. Chant these sweet names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Nama. Come to the temple. See the devotees. We were on Sangatan in Paris one time. We were chanting down the street. And one boy was walking with a can of gasoline and some matches. So he kind of got attracted by the Hare Nama. And then he came over and I started preaching to him. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to the park, I'm going to light myself on fire with this kerosene. So I said, well, you know, come on, you know, I started preaching to him. And I was leading the Harinam party, so then I told the boys to keep going. The boys got really upset. What do you mean you're leading the Harinam? This guy's a fool, he's a crazy, a nut, you know. He's just a nut, this guy, you know, let him go, you know. I said, no, we got to try, you know. So I spent 3 hours, took him back to the temple, gave him a big plate of prasadam, he spent the night, and 2 weeks later he joined the temple. Became a devotee. I don't know whatever happened to him. He went to Belgium and then to America. But anyway, so we have to present Krishna consciousness with great, you know, endeavor. But we have to be experts so that we don't offend people, and we have to present so they can cut their attachments. It's like if you ask someone, just cut a little bit of your finger here. Okay, here's a nut. Just cut a little bit of your finger. It's going to hurt. But another part of the finger, if you cut, it doesn't hurt at all. That's your fingernail. It's part of your body. You can cut your body and it doesn't hurt. What is that? You cut the fingernail. It doesn't hurt at all. So we have to be so expert at presenting Krishna as he is. Tell Kali, Krishna is so attractive. We have to present Krishna consciousness so attractively that for people to cut their attachments, it's just like cutting their fingernails. That's our duty. So that ungratefulness is not a very good quality. So the ungratefulness of the Vaishnava for the mercy he gets is probably the worst quality to have. You can be very fallen, but if you're ungrateful and as a result you become offensive, then your auspicious position is given up. Because the devotee is sometimes compared, just like Lord Shiva is the greatest of devotees. So Lord Shiva is called Ashutosh. Ashutosh means he's very easily pleased and is very easily displeased. So by the mercy of a Vaishnava, one can make very quick advancement in spiritual life. And by displeasing the devotee of the Lord, can create chaos in one's life. Because the Lord doesn't like it when his representative is offended. Just like the country. If the Indian ambassador had have come here, and we had have just ignored him, or neglected him, or just, you know, in some way been offensive, then, you know, that would have filtered back to the Indian government. It would have been very good for us. So by pleasing him, we got the favor of the Indian government, and by displeasing him, all chaotic situation was created. So in the same way, by the mercy of a devotee, we can be delivered. And if we offend that devotee, if we commit Vaishaparat, then all our good fortune, all our pious activities, all our qualities very quickly down the drain. So therefore, it's described like a mad elephant in a tea garden. And you see, we saw the tea garden last night on the slideshow. Very beautiful tea garden that the Chinese had made. So it's very delicate. And if you go in there and the elephant goes in there and he just destroys the whole thing. Another example I was thinking of was that one time in India we were having kirtan in Hyderabad, and we were going through all this bazaar, and everything was very nicely set up, and it was a festival day, and all the people were out buying things, and it was very nice. And then a big bull came into the street, and we were having Harinam right in the middle. And then another big bull, you see those big bulls in India, those Brahmin bulls, another big bull came into the street, and they looked at each other, and fire came in their eyes, and they started charging, and we were right in the middle. And they came, and our kirtan party, we got back just in time. boom, their heads hit, knocked back. And one rolled on the ground, and he got up, and there was a big fight. And they literally destroyed the entire bazaar. You know, the whole, there was like it was thousands of little shops and little things, and then at the end, it was just like, it looked like a bomb had destroyed the whole thing. So, a similar example, that all our advancement in devotional, so we've made nice progress in devotional service, but if we blaspheme or criticize a devotee, the result is that all that advancement, just like the bazaar was put to ruin by the two bulls, so similarly our advancement in Krishna consciousness becomes destroyed. So one time Brahmananda Prabhu was giving a lecture on this particular offense to the holy name, and he was stating that, you know, we should not offend the spiritual master who's the best of the devotees. So Prabhupada interrupted his lecture. He said, no. He said, that means any Vaishnava. It doesn't just mean the spiritual master. It doesn't just mean, you know, the sannyasi. It doesn't just mean the temple president. It means any devotee who's but he just stopped there. But I said, he said, that means any devotee. And in the Harinam Chintamani, in the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur, this point is very much elaborated on. Actually, I was studying recently Harinam Chintamani. And in the Harinam Chintamani, the offense is mentioned, Sadhu Ninda. Sadhu Ninda means offending the Vaishnava. So that is stated. But the whole section of that particular part about offending the first offense of the holy name is just how to identify a Vaishnava. It doesn't even elaborate so much on the offense itself as much as it does explain who is the Vaishnava. And it mentions the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava just so that one can determine who is a Vaishnava. And the summary of that long description of what is a Vaishnava is described that one who has an attraction for the holy name. If someone has an attraction for Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, he's to be considered a Vaishnava. Now his attraction, his faith in and his knowledge of the holy name may differ. A neophyte devotee has a little faith and a little knowledge. A Madhyama Adhikari, he has a little more faith but no knowledge. An Uttama Adhikari, he has a lot of faith and a lot of knowledge. But one shouldn't think that offense to the holy name just means an advanced devotee. It means anyone who is chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So we have to think about that. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada also describes that how we should see the Vaishnavas. He says, if one is chanting Hare Krishna but he's fallen, obeisances are to be given in the mind. In other words, we've seen, you'll see everything in Krishna consciousness. You'll see all different types of devotees. We have to know the science of association. So the devotee who is chanting Hare Krishna but is fallen, still respect is to be given. Even if you criticize that devotee, that's called sadhanindu. He's chanting, he's struggling, he cannot control the senses, but still the heart is there. He's a Vaishnava. So Krishna may in due course of time be very merciful. Even if one commits the most abominable activity, if he's rightly situated, he's to be considered saintly. So we consider the heart, and the heart, that is the most important thing. Everybody, if you look into your heart, there's a skeleton in everyone's closet. So the proper mentality, trinada pisani china tora pisahisna, amanina manina, kirtane yad sadahari, to offer all respect to others and respect nothing for myself. Granted. Unless one is a Paramahansa Paribhajakacharya, Mahabhagwata devotee of the Lord, there's going to be some residual material qualities there. But that's not to be taken into consideration because one has surrendered himself to the process. Just like you go to the hospital. In the hospital, there's so many people, they're all sick. So you come to the hospital, what is this place? Everybody's sick in this place. This is crazy, everybody's sick. Yes, they're sick, but they've surrendered themselves for treatment. And they're gradually getting cured. They ask all the people who have AIDS, please come forward, identify yourself. Don't spread the disease everywhere. Be honest, come forward, let us know, take care. So Vaishnava is one who has in his humility realized his fallen nature and surrendered himself. So we must see that first before we see. Actually, that's the proper way to deal with the Vaishnavas. To recognize their good quality. If you want to think of something, you want to say something about somebody, then first say something nice. Balance it out. Otherwise, it becomes the platform of fault finding. Because granted, the anarthas are there, but we must deal with them in the proper form. We must deal with them in the proper. The proper form is that everyone is accountable to a spiritual authority. And the duty of that spiritual authority is to very mercifully pull out the weeds. But if someone's unqualified pulls out weeds, he may not know what's a weed and what's a flower. And the process may be curtailed. So the right to find fault and to rectify lies within spiritual authority. So we must be very careful about criticizing devotees. And criticizing, Haridasa Thakur elaborates that criticizing means to criticize one's past sins, you know, to criticize a devotee because of what he was before. In other words, to criticize a devotee because of the type of body he has, or the country he was born. In other words, to make reference like this. Anyone is qualified to become an advanced devotee of the Lord. Whether he was born as a sudra, whether he was, and whether he's nyasi, or whatever he may be, he's qualified. So one should not see a devotee according to the material conception, but one must see a devotee by judging his qualities. Tikshava karunika suridam sarvadehinam ajata satavasanta sadava sadavushanaha. So criticizing means to ridicule, to make fun of, etc., etc. Rather, if all the glory, the devotees are being praised, that's the Vaikuntha atmosphere, and that is conducive for healthy Krishna consciousness. So another interesting point which Haridasa Thakur states in his Harinam Chintamani as to the cause of blasphemy. In other words, why does someone come to the point of blasphemy? So he gives a very interesting presentation. He says that one comes to the point of blaspheming because of asatsanga. Asatsanga tiyaga evaishnava acharya. Shturi sanga ekasara krishna abhakta ara. Just like we have the positive. Sadhu sanga sarva shastukoi lavamata sadhu sanga sarva siddhihoi. Take the association of devotees. And to the contrary, asat sanga tyaga e vaishnavata, shturi sanga ek asara krishna abhakta ara. That we should not associate with materialistic men and women. Ordinary men and women are very much attached to the opposite sex. So, he states that Vaishnava aparat comes as a result of illicit connection with women and men attached to women. Very interesting point. If one associates with the material energy in this most ignorant of ways, illicit sex life, then the propensity to criticize will become manifest. Of course, there's other reasons that one might come to the point of blasphemy, but this is one particular point which Haridasa Thakur points out. Yeah, illicit asat sangha. By illicit association, one develops the propensity to criticize. So rather, we should associate with those devotees who do not have a propensity to criticize and imbibe that principle. And as we stated yesterday, if tears do not come to our eyes, our hairs don't stand on end, we don't feel faltering of the voice when chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. That is because we're still making offenses. So therefore, we should be more in the mood like Raghunath Das Goswami, 10,000 times a day offering obeisances, just to make sure that there's no offense, always in that mood. And if one does happen to offend a Vaishnava, then what is the only remedy? The only remedy is to beg forgiveness from that devotee. Just like Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni, he very much offended Ambarish Maharaj. As a result of that offense to Ambarish Maharaj, the Lord was very disturbed, so the Lord sent the Sudarsan Chakra. And the Sudarsan Chakra chased Durvasa Muni all over the creation. Bur, Bhuvaha, Svaha. Even he went to the limit of Vaikuntha because of his great austerities, in yogic practice. He had these mystic powers. And actually, he was able to contact the Lord. He begged, "My dear Lord, please call off your Sudarsan chakra. Please, it's burning me." And the Lord said, "There's nothing I can do." He said, "You have offended my devotee. If you want forgiveness, then you have to go to my devotee. And you beg his forgiveness. And only then will I forgive you." So, similarly, in Srivas Angam, during the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one materialistic Brahmin wanted to defame Srivas Thakur. So everyone knew there was different kirtans and programs going on in the house of Srivas Thakur. So to defame Srivas Thakur and all the devotees, this devotee put the paraphernalia for worshipping Durga near the residence of Srivas Thakur. And then people begin to think, oh, so he's Durga worshipper. He's not actually Vaishnava. Just see, we've actually found out. As a result, that Brahmin came down with leprosy. And realizing his unfortunate situation as a result of offending a Vaishnava, he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "Please excuse me." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Sorry, there's nothing I can do. You must go to my devotee, and only my devotee can forgive you." So we should be in the mood like that, that being very afraid of offending the Vaishnavas, our tongue is always glorifying the Vaishnavas. That's an easy remedy. So as not to make that offense of criticizing a devotee, then it's very easy. You just glorify the devotees. That's not hard here. So many wonderful Vaishnavas. And if a devotee is to be rectified, then that should be brought to proper authority, who, with compassion and love and understanding and tejas, spiritual potency, can enlighten that devotee as to the shortcomings and encourage him. Otherwise, sometimes when we try to correct and we're not qualified, what happens is we cause more problem. Just like the story of the horse who had a big lump in his throat. So the veterinarian came with his assistant, and it was a big lump in the throat of the horse. So the veterinarian took a stick and he smacked it, and then the horse was all better. So his assistant became very puffed up and thought he could do the same type of thing. So he gave up the service of his master and he went elsewhere. And he also came one time along a similar situation where a horse had a big lump in his throat. So he took a stick and he smacked it and the horse died. And he was sued for millions of dollars. So then he went back to his teacher and he said, "I don't understand." He said, "You smacked the horse and there was no problem. I smacked the horse and he died." So the doctor said, "Yes, you're just a nonsense," he said, "because actually when I smacked the horse, he'd swallowed a melon. And when I hit the melon, he swallowed it very nicely. I could see. When you smacked your horse, he had a thyroid condition. His thyroid glands were swollen, and you smacked him and killed him." So the expertise lies in the authority. So it's a very, the false ego is very strong sometimes, and one has to be very expert how to deal in such a way as to actually pull out those attachments. So if we don't feel that qualified, then better we just glorify. That's the Vaikuntha mood, and the Lord will make the arrangements otherwise. So again, I'd like to mention the point that anyone who's chanting is a Vaishnava. So they're not an ordinary person, although they may be fallen temporarily. By the mercy of the Vaishnavas and the Lord, there's a chance that they can become rectified and again properly situated. So, abhanses these are often in the mind, although we don't take association. So we'll end there. Hati Mata Vaishnava Aparad offense. And ask for any questions. I figured there'd be probably a lot of questions. It's kind of verse you get a lot of questions. Got enough?
Maharaj, I would like you to comment on constructive criticism, because it seems that we can allow ourselves sometimes to be constructive criticism, but there's a fine line where you actually feel that there must be a criticism in order to improve someone's attitude or service, but then also within the mind or within the heart you feel like criticizing and as well. I'm not criticizing, it's a constructive criticism.
Well, a couple of points come to mind. Well, let's take the principle of criticism just from the mundane point of view. Why does a person criticize in the material world? Actually, he criticizes it's an artificial way of puffing himself up. Because by demeaning others, it makes him look like he's something special. Although his heart may be full of all kinds of nonsense and he's committed so many sinful activities, if he points out the faults in others, it makes him, no one's speaking about him, it makes him look like a good guy. So this is a very cheap way, artificial way of elevating. That would be very unfortunate that we use this technique. Better to develop the qualities naturally rather than demanding respect, better to command respect. As Prabhupada used the word self-effulgent. Not necessarily, you know, self-effulgent in the term of an acharya, but just self-effulgent in the term of a devotee developing his natural Krishna consciousness. It's a very wonderful thing to see devotees advancing and developing their good qualities. So we have to think, you know, are we like pointing out the fault of this person in order to, you know, like, we, you know how it is sometimes, we've all gone through this, because we're not, you know, we're chanting Hare Krishna, so, you know, you talk about somebody, yeah, you know, he's like, and then you get this kind of, you know in your mind you shouldn't have been doing that, you know. The group gets together, it's kind of like this, they call it group psychology, you know, the group gets together and talks about, and they all, yeah, right, this guy, talking about this person, but the group is just trying to, each individual in the group is trying to get in an identity that he's part of the group and he's better than that person they're defaming. But actually he's probably maybe worse, because the worst quality of a devotee is to criticize, to blaspheme. So we have to think, am I speaking about this devotee? Or is it like when the spiritual master calls a disciple in and chastises him? The disciple accepts it. Why? Because he knows it's done with true interest. There's care and concern there. That's why Chanakapanda said, you can't actually discipline anyone but your son and your disciple. He gave this moral code. That, you know, be very careful if you discipline someone other than your disciple or your son, your children. Because they may misunderstand. A disciple is fully surrendered. He knows the spiritual master has my real interest in mind. So as heavy as the blast may come, it's not done with any selfish motivation. Similarly, the parent in raising the child. The parent has to chastise the child. Spare the rod, spoil the child. But if it's done with the actual concern of uplifting the disciple, or uplifting the, then you can take it. And as I mentioned one time before, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples, they actually looked forward more to the chastisement than they did the favorable words. They actually looked for it. Because they knew that you can't chastise someone unless you're really favorable to them. And if you're a proper authority. But chastisement is the real concern. You can be chastised when you're making some progress. If you're too fragile, then the chastisement may not come. So constructive criticism should be done in a very compassionate manner. I know how Prabhupada taught the teachers in the Gurukul to do it. His technique, he taught them in Dallas. He said, you call the child before you and you say, dear such and such, you're a nice devotee, but you have done this nonsense. Therefore, I'm going to chastise you. And Prabhupada's mother and father were the perfect combination. Rajani and... No, that was his wife. His mother and his father. His mother was strict, strict, strict like anything. You know, she was so strict. Actually, Prabhupada didn't want to go to school. So his mother would actually bring a man called Domodar who would tie him up with a rope and drag him to school crying. And sometimes Prabhupada would come home and he would be naughty. And his mother would be very severe. No prasadam, go to bed. He'd probably go to bed crying, crying. Then his father would come home and little Abhay would be in his room. And so then he would come in and he'd console him and he'd go cook puris with sugar and hot milk and bring it in. So we discussed this in Christchurch. Strong like a thunderbolt, but soft like a rose. So if we're just strong like a thunderbolt, but we cannot also be soft like a rose and be encouraging. and be merciful, then perhaps we should, you know, hold back. But both are needed. If you're just merciful, you'll spoil the child. If you just chastise, you'll discourage. So both things are necessary. And one has to be expert. Therefore, no one should become a guru, no one should become a king, no one should become a parent. What was the other? A teacher. Unless one can actually fulfill that role of delivering the dependent from the repetition of birth and death. Just like this morning with the kids. So, you know, the kids don't generally have a propensity for chanting japa. So then, you know, you can chastise them, you know. You've taken this human form of birth. Nayam dehodeya bhajam miloke kashtam gamarai vidbujami. You're just acting like pigs. Not chanting the holy name. You're just in sense gratification playing. You can do like that. Or you can take the bees and go, okay, let's chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And then you can make it fun for them. And then you can take one kid and laugh. Watch the ecstasy. You can tickle them. And everybody has a great laugh. But everyone's enjoying. They're enjoying chanting Hare Krishna. The propensity is not there, but they're enjoying. They love it. It was fun. Laugh, everybody. But what happened? You know, we chanted some pretty intense rounds with the kids. But then, it's still, sometimes someone's, then you have to, you know, all right, now sit quiet and chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Both may be necessary. So we'll see by the result what was the actual mentality. If by chastising one is encouraged to give up one's bad habits, then it means that actually we're doing it right. And if the opposite is true, perhaps we weren't chastising correctly, or perhaps that person's not sincere. Would anyone like to add anything to that, Bhrigupati Prabhu? Alnath Prabhu? Another question? Of course, we're always grateful, anyone who helps us advance in the path of devotional service. But at the same time, we should be intelligent enough not to be sentimentally attached and follow such a person, or to receive instructions from such a person who's not qualified at that time to give us instruction. But the gratitude should be there, certainly. Anyone who helps you, even a devotee, is respectful to his own parents. Parents may just be complete karmis, but you know, they gave you this body and they handled it for the first 5 years, you know, and took care of it and got you educated and got you to the point where, you know, you were healthy enough and alive that you could surrender this Krishna conscious movement. So gratitude is there. But just like I was saying, you know, there's a certain amount of respect, but but at the same time, we shouldn't associate. I would rather say, because guru is one, to hear that knowledge from someone who is properly situated and can give you a continuing purport and practical training. Not that what was said was wrong previously, but spiritual master is an ongoing relationship. It's not that you just get initiated and that's it. Initiation, what is actually the duty of the spiritual master? To encourage, to inspire, to practically train, and to support his disciple. That is definitely an ongoing relationship. It's definitely ongoing. It's just like a father has a child. He doesn't just have the child and, you know, go to Tahiti. My grandfather did that. So my father had so many problems. My grandfather, my father was born, and my grandfather said, "I've done my duty, I've given you a child, and I'm off." You know, my grandmother just went, "What?" So yeah, I gave you a child. So it's not that Brahmanda Brahmatikam Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai, but that the seed is planted. But the seed is planted, and you have to water it, you know, and it takes a lot of concern and care and instruction and chastity. It's an ongoing, all the way till you get right back into Goloka. You know, there's many a, what do they say? Many a mistake twixt the cup and the lip. You've got this far to go. And you know, oops! You know, I won't tell the same story I told him. But there's many a, so, you know, it may be that just at the last moment, and we've seen, look at Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was such an advanced devotee that, you know, when he chanted, he was crying and faltering his voice. But then, somehow or other, you know, at that stage of Raganuga Bhakti, he became attached to a deer. And you know what Prabhupada said? Why that happened? It wasn't because of the anattas that were present, still present in the heart. It was because of direct disobedience to the instructions of his authorities. So, you know, up until the last moment, and even beyond, as we were mentioning yesterday, Janme Janme Prabhu say, birth after birth, even in the spiritual world, your spiritual master is also enlightening you about devotional service. He may be enlightening us here about the obstacles and simultaneously giving us knowledge of Krishna. But in the spiritual world, he is giving us knowledge of the Lord and how to engage in the Lord's service. So that is an ongoing relationship. Now, if that relationship is broken, then it has to be, we have to link up again. Anyway, so I would say that it's not, you know, that knowledge is valuable, but that knowledge should bring you to the point. In other words, what was the Guru saying? That you should surrender to Guru. So I should think you should take the summary and substance of that. And rejection doesn't mean, you know, rejection means that we're grateful and that we, what he was saying was true. So what if it's true, what does that mean? That means tadvidhi paripatena pariprasana sevaya. And certainly, if he was guru, then his blessings would be, yes, take shelter elsewhere now. That's the GBC resolution. GBC resolution. Substantiated by shastric reference, by logic, and by the heart as well. But of course, there may be time between the resolution and the heart. The heart, you know, it may take time, and as long as it takes, then it should be a natural process. It may take 6 months, it may take 10 years. But certainly the two are not contradictory. But it may take time to develop faith. And certainly if that faith is not mature, then it would not be as good if the faith was mature. But certainly, the principle holds that Diksha Guru is necessary. So if we've lost Diksha Guru, that still the principle is still the same. It's not that it obviates the fact, but it is an eternal principle. So the function of the Guru is to speak and to enlighten. And I would say, personally, I would say, I mean, others may have a different opinion, but I would say it's not good to listen to the old tapes. But the Guru, as Guru being one, to find someone or some ones, whom that, you know, the same knowledge is being presented that inspires you, and that you can receive at the same time that practical training. Because along with knowledge, we need training. Well, the GBC Guru Shraya paper explains that being an unfortunate situation, yogakshemam baham yaham, again, Krishna will make up the difference in the meantime. But then we should again resituate ourselves, probably. It's not that we've been kicked out of the family and rejected and so forth like that, but you know, it is a transcendental relationship. The idea is given sometimes that the father is left, but you're still part of the family just because your father's left. But this is a transcendental principle where the father is the father birth after birth. So that relationship must be reestablished. And certainly, Prabhupada, the Vaishnavas, and the Lord are very compassionate and understanding. But still, it doesn't obviate, again, the need for that ongoing relationship. Very profound subject matter. Yes?
On the point of especially caves, we see devotees and families in caves, and then good standing spiritual masters also sometimes see devotees keep pictures. And the point is that even though at that time they was inspiring to listen to lectures and just to worship pictures, but what's the point? Because of the attachment develops more and more because we get attached to listen to the voice and the instructions we were then good. And that the relationship is not there anymore, so the attachment is sufficient.
Keep a picture in the heart. That's true. As long as we're developing another relationship. Certainly we should pray for any Vaishnava who's... Prabhupada said, don't be surprised who goes, be surprised who stays, you know. If I ever left, I'd sure hope someone's praying for me. But I would say simultaneously, while we are doing that, in order to remain secure in Krishna consciousness, we should cultivate a shiksha relationship. Yes? It becomes eternal at that moment that we accept wholeheartedly. It's like Prabhupada said, there's nitya siddha and there's nitya buddha. Nitya siddha means always liberated. And nitya buddha means always conditioned. But as soon as a nitya buddha becomes a nitya siddha, he's considered an eternal liberated soul. So how can you say that? There was a time when he wasn't. But he's to be considered eternally liberated. So in the same way, the relationship is eternal in that it will go on forever. But it can be terminated. If the guru falls down, or the disciple becomes very inimical and offensive. In other words, just a fall down is not enough to constitute a breach of contract in this particular instance. If the disciple, certainly the disciple falls away, then as Yadanath was saying yesterday, it's the duty of the disciple to come back. The guru to come back. The disciple may fall, but that doesn't mean a breach of contract. A breach of contract means when you outward, with full consciousness, just completely reject that person. There were devotees that did that with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada rejected them. He actually had to reject them. He became envious and snake-like. But if there's some difficulty, then, you know, it's the duty. If you don't make it, that means, you know, you didn't make it. So the guru has to come back again and again and again and again. So eternal, you know, as long as our heart is there, and, you know, we're not inimical to the Lord or the Vaishnava who may be fallen, but the relationship's eternal, but it can be broken, and it's no longer eternal.
Acting subject to offenses, you know, most of the time the offenses we cause are more in our mind than we actually speak. So sometimes vice versa, we can't control our mind. How can we stop ourselves when someone does something to us immediately jump into our minds?
Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. I mean, there's something that inauspiciousness comes into the mind, filled immediately with auspiciousness.
So by filling with that auspiciousness, it negates the
We're not actually guilty of offenses in the mind in Kali Yuga. The danger is that if the mind, by contemplating the... In other words, if you think about sense gratification, you don't get karma in Kali Yuga. In the past days, if you even thought about sense gratification, you get the immediate reaction. Can you imagine what our situation would have been like in the past days? We just thought about something, then we got the reaction, you know? We'd probably be covered with boils all the time. Like Indra's covered with eyes. So, you know, you don't get the reaction. But the problem is that by contemplating the object of the senses, one develops an attachment. From that attachment, lust develops. From that lust comes anger, you know, bewilderment of intelligence, and we fall down to the material whirlpool. So although we don't get the reaction of the sin by thinking about it, the danger is that it may come actually to the point of sinful activity. So therefore, the mind has to always be, to be always cleansing the mind, the heart, just like you cleanse the body every day. So by coming in contact with this material world, gross and subtle dirt accumulates on the body and the heart. So just like you bathe three times a day, you should remember the lotus feet of the spiritual master who removes all auspiciousness from the heart. And 24 hours a day, kirtaniyat sada hari, you should be chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Because if disease, if dirt sits too long, disease will set in. And if ignorance sits too long in the heart, it will fester and turn into anarthas. So when we're chanting, you know, we just like we chanted this morning with the kids, that's japa. Japa doesn't mean Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Oh, Rama, Rama, Hare. What is japa? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Full absorption. Right? There you go. Child is the father of man. Let's show the adults how we were chanting. Okay, we're not shy, right? Prabhupada said, a lion at home, a lion on the chase. Right? So little girls are shy, but let's show them how we were chanting this morning, okay? Ready? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's japa. That, just like you take a shower, you can take a quick shower, right? You got to do arctic in 3 minutes, you know, you jump in, whoosh, out. If you do that all the time, if you don't use soap, what'll happen? You'll get dirty and grimy. So there's, you know, at least that shower in the morning, you know, you scrub down and you clean your fingernails, scrub your feet and clean your ears, wash your hair, you know, really clean, and then, you know, you get out, and then, you know, that type of bath has to be there. So the other type of bath, so, you know, we can chant all day long. Hare Krishna, we're doing our work. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, we're fixing. We're doing, that's all, we should. Kirtana Yad Sadi. But that good bath has to be there in the morning. Like tomorrow they're going to come, right? And we're going to have more japa tomorrow. We really cleansing our hearts, right? So that bath has to be, that type of japa, that's japa mala. That's japa mala. Just like when you take prasadam, you know, you can... But if it's a big feast, you can like really meditate on it, and wow, that was a great feast. You really feel after you're full when you get it. So after finishing japa, you know, we should feel the heart being cleansed and the mind should be surcharged with Krishna consciousness. And then if something inauspicious tries to come in the mind, there's no room as it's filled with Krishna. And all day long, the service is Krishna conscious service. So this is quite an important point, actually. You see how most devotees chant their japa. A little bug gets in there, a little virus gets in there. So, anyone who wants to come to the house tomorrow, you're more than welcome. You can come to the puja. We have other impetuses there. We have sweets, fruits. We have a big plate of sweets tomorrow. So tomorrow's our last day here. We're leaving tomorrow. So anyone who hasn't had the opportunity of taking a very intimate darshan of Sri Sri Lakshmi and Sringadev, please come right after Tulsi Puja. Everyone will get a big sweet tomorrow. We need a volunteer to make some sweets. Big sweets. How big should the sweets be, kids? Okay. That's right. You'll make? Okay. Mother Jama Maria will make big sweets. Who's going to come tomorrow for the Nisringa Puja? Who'd like to come? Okay. I won't say bring your dancing shoes. I'll say bring your japa beads. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.